future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. With the DevCon nearly underway in Prague, the Ethereum DevCon that is, there's been so many positive stories breaking out that people actually have been waiting to release. So it's super interesting that as soon as the DevCon came, that you had a lot of positive news coming out. I guess projects were all holding back for the same time to really push the momentum together. But what's most important is the EOS hackathon coming up in San Francisco. I know myself and some of the team are going to be flying out for that. It's going to be really exciting. We're really excited to be part of that. We've had the judges released today for that. What an incredible lineup we have. I mean, to kick it off, you've got Dan Larimer, CTO of Block One, the man behind EOS.io. We have Rob Judison, who's the group president of Block One. Mike Novogratz, founder and CEO of Galaxy Digital. So it's great to have Mike on the judging panel. Philip Rosedale, founder and CEO of High Fidelity, an amazing, amazing VR project. And we have Brad Stephen, who's the co-founder of Blockchain Capital. That's an amazing talent pool of judges bringing in so many different experiences. So it's going to be really exciting to see what the theme is, see what that release is going to be, and also see how everything plays out with judges' views and see how they come together and see who the winner is. So we're really excited to be part of that amazing process. We're really excited to meet all the hackers taking part. I know a lot of people who are going to be down there that weekend. There's going to be a great energy. There's going to be a great buzz. And we're really looking forward to be part of that. So with that in mind, let's find out what's been going down, what the stories are, what you need to know. So let's get down to business. One of the most important stories that was released today is that Binance signs up 40,000 crypto traders in its first week in Uganda. This is huge. So despite global market doldrums, demand for cryptocurrency appears to be booming across Uganda, a country where nearly 3 out of 4 people don't have bank accounts. Revealed exclusively today, Binance Uganda signed up 40,000 users in its first week since the world's largest crypto exchange opens its new unit in Uganda. It's also part of a local mobile payments provider that will convert fiat to crypto or vice versa. The partner asked not to be named due to safety concerns relating to managing large quantities of cash. Like its Malta-based parent, Binance Uganda has no bank account. One of the big issues in the region, in the continent right now, is liquidity. And Binance will bring us liquidity. Nairobi-based entrepreneur Marvin Colby in nearby Kenya, a co-trustee of the Africa Digital Asset Framework, told media sources, these digital assets can move borderless around the continent. Furthermore, the prospective Ugandan user are also undergoing the Know Your Customer KYC onboarding process, verifying their government-issued IDs. Binance has or was historically known for only requiring an email address to trade crypto to crypto. Previously, Ugandans who wanted to trade crypto were most reliant on peer-to-peer exchanges like local Bitcoins or nearby services such as Zimbabwe exchange Golex. However, Kawai Ruganda, chairman of the Ugandan Blockchain Association and co-founder of the Ugandan blockchain startup Crypto Safahara, told media sources that such platforms hardly represent the large population in the country that are unbanked and hungry to access to cryptocurrency. Since Binance Uganda opened, Ruganda said several other exchanges have started contacting local regulators. We have already heard of interest from other players that are looking at the Ugandan market, he said. Meanwhile, Zhao told media sources that Binance Uganda is looking to hire local operational staff for both local support and expansion of similar subsidiaries in 2019 to either Kenya, Nigeria, or South Africa. Uganda is our pivot to reach out to other African markets, Zhao said. Driving factors. Remittance is a crucial factor driving demand for Bitcoin in Uganda, Rwanda said. A 2014 national census revealed nearly 10% of Ugandan households received remittance from neighboring Kenya, only a few percent points below the most popular remittance sources in Europe, Sweden, and Germany. But these transfers carry high conversion fees, creating demand for alternatives. There's a lot of cash in the financial system when you switch the currencies back and forth in addition to inflation, Zhao said, adding, That tells us there is a use case for cryptocurrency in Africa. Is a huge hedge against inflation. Other factors driving cryptocurrency adoption in Uganda are rampant unemployment beyond the agricultural industry and demand for imported products. There's a large consumer market for people purchasing cars. For example, because Bitcoin is legal tender in Japan, where the cars are manufactured, Regan said. So meanwhile, the International Labour Office estimated in 2017 that almost 15% of working age Ugandans under 30 were unemployed. Wow. Plus nearly 49% were only employed, only had irregular or temporary work. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So as such, many are becoming self-employed. Unemployment is another real factor, Rwanda said. It forces people to look outside of formal employment structures. This hardens to similar factors noted by cryptocurrency advocates in the Palestinian territories, where educated young people look online for opportunities to earn, shop, and trade with crypto when white-collar jobs are scarce. On the other hand, there's still a long way to go until 40,000 Binance Uganda users start to rely on Bitcoin for daily remittances. BitPesa CEO Elizabeth Rosili, based in nearby Kenya, told media sources that many Ugandans became skeptical of Bitcoin after criminal operations promised Ugandan Bitcoin, then defrauded them. So someone had a bit of a scam going. So Uganda is a heavily offline market where trust is built through face-to-face interactions, Rosillo said. We're very hopeful in regards to regulation and government support, as they have been recently very open to new blockchain events and innovations. In his dealings with local authorities, Ruganda said he's seen an increasingly openness to the cryptocurrency industry, including the establishment of a national task force for blockchain. In fact, Ugandan royal prince Kudra Kalema is currently spearheading an energy project with a crypto startup, Walla, which already has thousands of Ugandan mobile app users. Zaul agreed Uganda is an up-and-coming African country with a relatively crypto-friendly and stable political system. Speaking to the high demand for fiat liquidity and affordable cross-border transactions, he concluded, "For Africa as a whole, this is just a step for Binance to serve Africa." That's amazing, because if you think about it, Africa's a place where there are a lot of people there, and they haven't given the opportunities to innovate. They haven't given the infrastructure to create, build, like kind of Western society has. So with all the difficulties that they have, crypto and blockchain is something that can definitely help bring them up. The most sophisticated country for payments, you think it would be somewhere like the UK, the US, China, but it's actually Nigeria. And the reason why is because people trade off phone credit there. So phone credit is worth X amount of minutes. Let's say, I don't know, how many credits are worth X amount of minutes. So that's stable. That's worth what it is. Everyone uses a phone in Nigeria, and everyone has access, and people communicate through pay as you go. So there's always a value. There's always a market for that. Fiat there is open to high inflation, which means it's not a safe asset to hold. It's not a safe currency to hold. But mobile phone credit is, because there's always a market and always has a worth, and you know what that worth is. And then you can trade that for anything, fruit, veg, cars, I guess, if you have enough of it. But the truth is, that's a currency, something that you can transact with. And that's why it's one of the most sophisticated places. So really, if you look at it from that point of view, it's primed for innovation, is primed to take that next level of blockchain and crypto. And by the way, the regulators are open to working with them, because I guess they don't have a lot on their plate with regards to high financial scrutiny by mass companies like London, like New York do. Well, they need to keep these guys in line. With places like Nigeria, Uganda, they're a little more open to conversation, a little bit more free. And I guess they can be helped in an educational process, unlike some of the other big players in the space. One of the other big news stories on today was CBOE head of equity option just joined a blockchain startup. So blockchain startup AlphaPoint has hired a senior executive from the CBOE Global Markets, the parent company of the Chicago Board of Exchange. Revealed today, Kapil Rathi joined AlphaPoint as a global head of trading markets, a newly created position, and will be in charge of the company's trading and exchange business. He was previously CBOE's head of equity options, wow, and earlier worked at the New York Stock Exchange, ISE, now part of the NASDAQ, and BATS Global Exchange, which CBOE acquired in 2017. Rafi told media sources today that he has been watching AlphaPoint for the last few years and half an interest and admired the progress it had made helping institutions bring new products to market. At his new job, he'll be looking to improve and bridge collaboration between mainstream finance and digital assets industry to help build and grow the collaboration and the ecosystem. So this is what Rathi said. So digital assets and crypto are at an interesting crossroads. While the investor demand and appetite in participating in digital assets is exponentially increasing, the facilitators to capital markets like prime brokers, custodians, exchanges, and regulators are taking a slow and cautious approach. As such, he will draw on his experience building and running regulated exchanges to transform the digital assets industry into an established and viable alternative to other crypto classes like equities, options, and fixed income, Rathi said. While developing new products, he will work with regulators and security exchanges and remain extremely cognizant with investors. So this is really big news, because once you start to see high-level talent from institutions, from regulators moving into the space, it helps create the infrastructure for this to be adopted. And you really need people with that insight, that level of experience, the intellect to come in and build what we've all been building together and the technology itself. It's a really, really big deal. And we're going to start to see more and more of this rolling through into our space and watch it grow and grow and grow. But remember, this is not financial or trading advice, just our in-house view here at SVK Crypto. Listen, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. Hit us up on Telegram. Telegram is SVK Crowd. If you type that in, you will find us. Feel free to join us on Twitter. Follow us. We put loads of cool content out there. I know Shane's been doing a few speaking arrangements, so all of that content's on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Follow it. You know it makes sense. And also feel free to email myself if you have any questions or queries, which is CStory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.